Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
Talking to Damian Darlington. He is one of the founding members of Brit Floyd. And Damian, welcome to Radio Labyrinth.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Yeah, are you excited about coming to Atlanta?
Yeah, certainly am. Yeah, it's a great place for us to play. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of good gigs there in the past.
Awesome, awesome. So let's get right into it. Where did it all begin for you and your relationship with Pink Floyd?
Oh, probably when I was about 12 or 13 years old when I heard the Wall album for the first time. A few years after it came out, that instantly captivated me as an album, you know, the whole sort of concept behind it, and obviously the wonderful musicianship, and that's what was my gateway into being a fan of Pink Floyd music.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the northwest of England, but I also lived in a few other places around the world as a child, like Nigeria and West Africa and Abu Dhabi in the Middle East as well, while I was growing up.
Were Pink Floyd huge where you grew up as a kid, or were they bigger in the United States? I don't remember. I was like 9 or 10 when that album came out.
I was a similar age. You know, certainly, obviously, Pink Floyd were massive here in the UK throughout the 70s and into the 80s. I mean, and they still are, you know, with perhaps more so with a certain age group these days.
But right.
they're still a hugely popular and relevant group as well. But, you know, obviously, they were, you know, Dark Side of the Moon was number one for however many weeks here in the UK in the album chart. So they were a massive band.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon, I guess that was on the Billboard charts for decades, correct?
Exactly, you know, here in the UK as well as in the US.
Do you find younger audiences more and more coming to the shows to kind of get that experience of seeing a Pink Floyd concert?
Certainly, you know, it's not all the people who were buying these albums when they were young that are coming to these concerts. That there are new generations of people discovering this music, and obviously that's very good to see from our own perspective, but also just the perspective of people appreciating this sort of quality music in general. You know, it's a great thing to see.
I never had a chance to see, you know, the original Pink Floyd lineup, or, you know, the one that we've all come to know, not Syd Barrett. I mean, we're all too young for that. But I have seen Roger Waters perform The Wall a couple times here in Atlanta, and the show production that goes into it is amazing. And of course, the music is always amazing, too. What can people expect if they've never seen Australian Pink Floyd or Brit Floyd?
We obviously, when it comes to putting our show on, we recognise how important that sort of visual, spectacular production side of thing is to when it comes to putting a Pink Floyd concert on for people. So when they come along to see Brit Floyd, they'll see a spectacular light show with all video that's specially produced to go along with our show. The circular video screen that Pink Floyd fans in general are familiar with. When the venue is large enough to accommodate it, we have a very large inflatable pig, which again is a thing that Pink Floyd were very famous for.
Oh yeah,
you know, all the sort of things you would have expected to see at a Pink Floyd concert back in the day, you'll experience at our shows.
Brit Floyd is Thursday, May 25th at 8 p.m. at the fabulous Fox Theater. This show is going to be incorporating performances from The Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, and a special tribute to Animals. Now, Animals, it's the 40th anniversary, right, of that album?
Yes, it is, yeah.
This year. That's my favorite Pink Floyd album. From the music to the lyrics especially, because I always loved the music, but I always loved the way Roger Waters was able to write song lyrics and make them poignant and meaningful. What is it about Animals that you like, and what songs can we expect to hear from that?
Well, you can expect to hear the whole first side of the album. You know, that includes Pigs on the Wing and the epic track Dogs. And of course, you're right about Roger Waters as a lyricist. He was an amazingly clever lyricist. You know, the words are just so full of meaning. You know, he's touched on so many different concepts throughout the albums. Throughout Pink Floyd albums, so, and they're still relevant today, definitely. So I think the Animals was perhaps a little bit of a product of its time. You know, it was brought out in 77, the punk had just arrived on the music scene, and Animals is probably the angriest Pink Floyd album perhaps you could describe it as, but having said that, it's still got some beautiful music on it as well, and it's a real joy to play tracks like Dogs in the set.
The album Wish You Were Here, I guess, was always thought of to be exclusively about Syd Barrett, certainly for the lay fan. But I recently had seen Roger Waters say that the title track was a memo to himself. And I'm getting there because the line, "Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage?" It's kind of like, it's important to be a leader, but it's also important to be a part of something bigger than you in that way. And I'm probably paraphrasing something that he said. So in the context of Britt Floyd, to relate to being a part of the Pink Floyd universe, is that amazing? And to be received by fans, how does that make you feel? And, you know, and the music and everything about it. I know I'm rambling here, but I do have a point. Is like, to be all encompassed in something that is so huge and prevalent in music history, I guess, if that makes any sense.
It's certainly become a very important part of my life, and I'm very sort of proud and happy that I've had the chance to play this music for over two decades and provide something for the fans out there who still want to experience Pink Floyd music live in concert. You know, that's part of what we're about, and it's a bit of a labor of love for me to make this show as good as I possibly can, and to sort of treat this music with the respect it deserves, you know. So to be part of that Pink Floyd universe, as you describe it, is definitely something that I value, and I'm proud to be in this position of being in a band like Britt Floyd.
And one of the things about American radio is, you know, I'm sure radio in all Western countries, especially where Pink Floyd is popular, maybe all over the world even, is we still get to hear Pink Floyd on a daily basis as if it's a single, because the classic rock radio stations, even if they start adding music from the 80s and a little bit from the 90s now, they're always going to play those iconic Pink Floyd songs. You're going to play the iconic Pink Floyd songs, but what are some curveballs that concertgoers might get to hear, stuff that you don't hear on the radio all the time?
It's important to put those sorts of tracks in the set list. Obviously, you know, people are going to come along and they're going to hear Another Brick in the Wall and tracks like Money and That Time, Comfortably Numb, Wish You Were Here, etc. But we also think it's important to put some of the other deep cuts, I think is the phrase people like to describe them as, into the set list as well, and give a sort of comprehensive journey through some of Pink Floyd's catalogue. So this year we're playing some tracks off Moment Your Lapse of Reason, The Final Cut, and The Division Bell, which we've never played live.
Wow.
And Pink Floyd never played live either. You know, tracks like Not Now, John off The Final Cut. There's an instrumental tune off Moment Your Lapse of Reason called Terminal Frost. We're playing that in the set, you know, and it's working really well and going down.
I've never heard I've never heard that song live, ever. And to hear that coming at you with all the sound and all the excitement and seeing people playing it on stage, it sounds very exciting to me. So I'm definitely going to be there.
It certainly is. It's exciting to play as well.
Do you play anything off of Piper at the Gates of Dawn or anything with Syd?
We do. We're playing Astronomy Domini. That's in the set list as well. You know,
nice.
It's also important to sort of represent that Syd Barrett era, the beginnings of Pink Floyd as well.
Do you ever listen to any of Syd Barrett's solo stuff? I'm assuming you probably did.
Obviously, I have. You know, yeah. I've listened to all of Syd Barrett's albums. I've even played one or two tracks, you know, over the years. I think it's important to remember, you know, there'd be no Pink Floyd, quite frankly, without Syd Barrett. So it's good to remember his legacy as well, alongside the rest of Pink Floyd's music.
Probably wouldn't be a Robin Hitchcock either.
You don't know exactly.
I like Robin Hitchcock, but I love the old Syd Barrett stuff. I guess I got into them when I was about, you know, in full. I got into Pink Floyd when I grew up a little bit. I had Another Brick in the Wall or the Wall album. But, you know, as I got older and I can appreciate, I think it comes with age. I think in your mind as you grow, you can appreciate music more than just on a mundane level of hearing something on the radio. And Floyd is definitely a band like that for me.
Yeah, certainly. And for a lot of other people out there around the world as well.
Now, I'm a, like I said, you know, obviously a fan of Pink Floyd. One of my other favorite bands is the Grateful Dead, and I saw a band called the Dark Star Orchestra a couple weeks ago. Now, they recreate entire shows, and so it's for the diehard fan who never got to see that show, and it's kind of a total immersion. Do you encounter fans who come up to you and say, you know, I saw Pink Floyd in 1978, and you guys just brought me back to that point?
Definitely. You hear it all the time. People... people want to tell. We quite often go out after gigs and do signings at merchandise and what have you, or do meet and greets. So you get to meet fans and chat to them about this sort of stuff. And you hear it time and again that we bring back so many memories of their youth. And it's amazing how many people we meet who were connected with Pink Floyd in some way, you know, who worked for them over the years, who sort of say similar things. You know, it's a very important part of their lives, this music has become, you know, so we help them relive some of those memories that they associate with this music, certainly.
Well, music can time travel. It can take you back to where you were. When I was prepping for the interview, I was thinking about that 45 I bought of Another Brick in the Wall and thinking of where I was, and I can see myself in my room, and then you kind of transform to the, you know, 5 years in the future when you're 18 and in college and your buddies and you're all sitting around, you know, smoking whatever, and you're listening to The Wall and you're watching the movie, and you know, it's the way that that a band like Pink Floyd connects with people, and their legacy, I think, I guess, will just go on forever. It's like Mozart. It's that kind of level of music. It'll last forever.
It's certainly becoming that way. I hope and expect it won't be quite perhaps so stuffy as classical music.
No,
has become in a way, but yeah. I know it'll be around in another 100 years. Certainly, I'm totally confident of that.
Absolutely. Well, Brit Floyd is the world's greatest tribute to Pink Floyd out there, and they are going to be at the fabulous Fox Theater Thursday, May 25th at 8 p.m. Tickets are still available. Make sure you go there. Now, I've seen Australian Pink Floyd a couple of times. And you used to be involved with that. What led you to you know, kind of put that on hold for a little bit and to create Brit Floyd?
Well, I did the Australian Pink Floyd show. I was in that band for 17 years. You know, it was quite a long time, a lot of my musical career. But it just got to the point where I still wanted to carry on playing Pink Floyd music, but I just wanted to have the freedom to put a show on in my own way, and, you know, the freedom to choose the set list and you know, and work with some different musicians producing this music. And it just sort of reached that point 6 years ago where I decided to take the plunge and started Brit Floyd. And here we are 6 years later, and it's every bit as successful, if not more, perhaps, than the Australian Pink Floyd show had become. So I'm very pleased with how things have turned out.
Do you ever interact with any of the band members?
What, the Aussie Floyd?
No. I'm sorry, Pink Floyd. Like Roger Waters or David Gilmour and those guys?
I certainly have in the past. I mean, I met David Gilmour back in 1994 when I first started playing Pink Floyd music.
Yeah.
And I played at his 50th birthday party subsequently and got to play with Rick Wright.
Nice.
Playing Comfortably Numb. He was on there, by the side of me on keyboards with Nick Mason and David Gilmour watching in the audience, and George Harrison from the Beatles as well, just to put the pressure on even more.
Yeah, just, you know, hey, whatever. It's just George Harrison. It's only a Beatle.
Exactly. You know, and I've certainly met a lot of the other people who've been connected with Pink Floyd over the years, like Dick Parry, the guy who played saxophone on Dark Side and Wish You Were Here, and Scott Page, who played saxophone with him on the Delicate Sound of Thunder tour, and more recently Guy Pratt, who's David Gilmour's longtime bass player, got up and played with us on a few tracks in a gig in Liverpool in England. So, you know, I've had lots of interaction with Pink Floyd members and the people connected with them over the years.
Do you believe they'll ever get together and tour again?
I don't believe there'll ever be a Pink Floyd tour. It's not beyond the realms of possibility for there to be another one-off show of some description, but I don't think there'll ever be a proper full-on tour.
Mm. Boy, I would love to see them actually together, but, you know, maybe I'll watch it on TV.
Or come watch Brit Floyd.
Well, I'm definitely going to be there. Brit Floyd will be at the Fabulous Fox Theater. We call it Fabulous Fox Theater here. Thursday, May 25th at 8 p.m. Tickets available at Fox Theater. That's theatre.org. Or by calling 855-285-8499. And I will see you there. And Damien, I will see you there performing on stage. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, man.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
New Faces Radio.